Now we've got David Gabrielson. Am I pronouncing your name right? The Caro Town Board candidate who's running in the November 7th election. Welcome here to ACRA.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Tom.
Tell us why you're running for town council.
So several months ago, I had reached out to the Democratic Committee volunteering to help in any way that I could, particularly with the substance abuse issues that have been plaguing the town, and attended the Democratic Committee meetings, got to meet with some of the folks there, and ultimately when they held the caucus, I won the nomination and have been moving forward ever since.
So the opioid issue is your main cause?
Absolutely.
And what can the town do about it? I mean, we heard the president spoke about it yesterday. What on a town level, what can what do you think the town can do about it?
So I think that what we need to do is increase access to providers and actually get more providers in. I know that Twin Counties has gotten a large grant and are going to be providing increased services, but Twin Counties provides what's called abstinence-based treatment. It's effective, but there are other forms of treatment like harm reduction that can be more effective at treating opioid addiction.
So abstinence-based treatment, is that just say no? Is that what is that?
Essentially, if you were to use a metaphor of quitting smoking, abstinence-based treatment, you go cold turkey, you never smoke again, cigarettes are the worst thing ever. Harm reduction treatment, you wean yourself off eventually, going from a pack a day to maybe 15 a day to half a pack, safely and gradually reducing use.
And I guess this can't be addressed locally, but it seems like nationally, what's not being talked about is, in some circles, is this is caused by the prescription drug companies. There's a doctor today I saw in the news that was bribing doctors around the country to get more a certain prescription drug, and they prescribe too many drugs to too many people. I mean, people are in pain and they need painkillers. We can all agree on that. Yeah. But it seems like it started there. I don't know what the town can do about that part of the national crisis. Right?
Well, it was great that it was declared an emergency by President Trump yesterday, but not putting any funding into it and cutting Medicaid, which is where a lot of the substance abuse providers get their funding, is not going to be effective. But locally, there are programs that, I could have a van come out and do mobile outreach and park and meet with people in need tomorrow if I could.
And what is the I guess we should really start. What is the impact on the community? Why is this a major issue here in Caro?
The drug issue, it's plaguing our country, but Caro in particular seems to have been very hard hit. I grew up, this was a resort town, and, people came here to vacation. That stretch of 23 going from the thruway to Caro, it's commonly referred to by law enforcement and substance abuse providers as heroin highway. And until we address that drug issue, the other issues that are businesses not coming in, people moving out of town, it's not going to be corrected until we address the drug issue first.
And what is the impact here? I mean, is it raising crime? Is it? It's obviously causing health problems. What is the impact in Caro?
So there has been 60,000 overdoses, not just in Caro, but in 2016.
Overdose deaths.
Deaths.
Yeah.
I think that it is now opiate. Overdose death is now the number one killer of individuals 50 and under. For the first time ever, the Greene County Jail, more than half the inmates are there on opioid charges. So, we're definitely seeing it. As you see, this kind of thing, when Caro is known as being a poor town, as Caro is being known as being a drug infest the town, people don't want to be here. Businesses don't want to come in. People want to move. And that's why you're seeing as many for sale signs as you are seeing campaign signs.
Yeah. And there's some empty storefronts on Main Street too.
You know, we're making, the town is making some positive steps. You know, I'm sure you know about the sidewalk and the proposal that went through, and the water plan that's gone through, but that's not going to attract business. You know, I posted on my Facebook campaign page recently, Caro is the poorest town in Greene County and like the sixth poorest in upstate New York. If I'm a business owner, that's not where I'm going. If I'm looking to move, if I'm looking to buy a new home somewhere, that's not where I'm going.
And so as a town council person, what can you do about all these giant, massive national issues impacting our
I'm going to solve everything, not to worry. So basically, everybody has the same campaign platform. No one's running around saying more drugs, less business, right. You know, raise taxes. It's just who has the ability to make a change for the better. And, you know, none of us are going to be able to do that individually, but we need to have a vision or a plan that we could propose and that the board could vote on and maybe implement. So, you know, for me, the big thing would be getting in, harm reduction providers in the town. I would love to get that the mobile outreach team out here.
What is the mobile outreach?
So programs, harm reduction programs. They have a van actually that will go into communities, and they can have a set spot. Finding a parking spot is a big deal, but having an area for them and people who are in need can go there. With a level of privacy, not having to go to a formal clinic setting or have to do an intake or a drug test, and they can get services. They can get linked to counseling. They can get linked to detox. They can, more controversial, needle exchange. But there are services available for people that are not just abstinence-based, swear off today, go cold turkey today and never use again.
So you want to work with other organizations to bring services to the town to help this issue?
It's a big part of what I do professionally. I'm an employee of Catholic Charities. I run a program called HARP, not to be confused with the mortgage program. It stands for Health and Recovery Planning. So the Department of Health identifies high need, at-risk individuals. We go into their home and assess them, determine what their needs are, and put them in place. Very common for me to collaborate with law enforcement providers, with substance abuse providers, mental health, medical providers. The folks that I work with all have some combination of mental health, substance abuse, and medical issues. So definitely something that I'm experienced with, and I think that I could bring that into the role of town councilman.
You want to tell us some more about your background?
Sure. I have been in human services for over 20 years, worked for different programs, like I said, in with Catholic Charities now. Recently came back from Houston. I was did a two-week volunteer deployment doing crisis counseling and disaster case management.
After the hurricane?
With the Hurricane Harvey victims, yes.
And what was that like?
Life-changing. It's very difficult to describe. Catholic Charities had sent $2 to $3 million in financial aid and sent supplies. They needed to send staff. I saw a level of destruction that I'll never be able to unsee. I'm pretty unflappable, being in the field for as long as I have. But, when canvassing these neighborhoods and seeing these homes destroyed, each case was more heartbreaking than the next. On the same hand, though, I saw communities come together. I mean, I went everywhere from Richmond to Galveston, and one day worked in a warehouse. We unloaded 65 trucks, 500,000 bottles of water, 40,000 pounds of food. Some of this was businesses, Lowe's, Home Depot, donating cleaning supplies, but this was local people buying a U-Haul, filling it up, and doing things. And the volunteers ranged from Girl Scouts, 8, 9 years old, to people who were in their 70s. So it was really great to see that, to see the community come together, cheering every driver as they came in and then high-fiving each other when that truck pulled out and the next one came in. And this was in a warehouse on a 100-degree day. It was really, really something.
And how recently were you there? Was it right after the
hurricane? I came back. No. I went down the end of September. I came back the beginning of October. Down there for 15 days.
And it was still pretty wrecked, or what was the condition?
So
like?
There are areas that are completely destroyed. It will take years to recover. There are others that, you know, are seemingly untouched. You know, what we ran into were, you know, canvassing these neighborhoods. You know, your house is destroyed, but you have nowhere to go. So it's trying to link them to FEMA or, you know, another agency that maybe has some interim housing in place. But you'd come to an area where the home survived, but the car was destroyed. Well, your car insurance doesn't cover hurricanes, so now you have no means to get to work, no means to get to the doctor. We found people whose homes were fine, but their place of business was destroyed. Now they're unemployed, but they still have their bills and they still have their car payment and whatever else. So it was really, no matter where we went, there was some level of need. You know, we went from my first day there, first case I encountered, 25-year-old mother with 2-year-old twins living in her car. There's no level of counseling I can provide to help her. I mean, it's just really being a shoulder to cry on and then linking her to services, getting her into a better situation. You know, the next house, you know, family of with 6 children, the next house, you know, 90-year-old parents were flooded out and now they have to take care of it. It's just one after another. And it's very difficult to get services down there. At least that was the general consensus.
I'm guessing that it made the opioid issue worse, interrupting all those services. I just meant that people couldn't go to a clinic or go to a needle exchange even.
There are like longer-term impacts like that that I, you know, when you are in a crisis kind of situation like that, you can't even think about kind of the longer-term thing. You're absolutely right, though. There were medical things that were unaddressed. You know, we're delivering food and water and kind of basic needs, and then we're at a really just kind of an abandoned home, and they're like, you know, can anyone bring aspirin or Tylenol or in pain? You know, obviously can't.
You were mostly working on like day-to-day issues.
Right. I mean, depending on the day, I was canvassing neighborhoods, trying to link people to service. I was delivering supplies. I was collaborating with FEMA or the Salvation Army or local civic center or church, whoever had something going on that day to get assistance to people. There's a data entry piece too. You know, I mean, we were working 15-hour days down there. You'd get up in the morning, you'd go to whatever area that Catholic Charities wanted us to get to, help as many people as you can, but then you're entering data into a computer system because you don't want there to be a duplication of services. So, you know, there's something called the Coordinated Assistance Network that everybody utilizes, all these agencies utilize. So instead of having, you know, someone's working on housing, someone's working on food, someone's working on medical needs, it's not everybody working on one thing and 3 other needs getting neglected.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's come back to Caro. Tell us more about your background here. Have you run for office before? Or
I'm a lifelong resident, graduated Caro Durham in 91. My son, also David, graduated 2 years ago. Have never run for office before. I just never had the time, quite honestly. I've had an interest in local politics, but you know, having a teenage son involved in athletics, I was always coaching or going to games or going to practice. My job requires me, I have 5 offices covering 11 counties. So I was not always able to be local. I have staff now in those locations. So I am primarily between Catskill, Hudson, and Albany at this point. So the time has been available, and I saw that there were openings, and I felt there was a need that my professional background, my educational background, felt that maybe I was really qualified to help.
Are there other issues that you think are important this year or that you want to focus on?
So I cannot go into specifics because I don't have permission from the other people involved in the project, but I'm looking at bringing a rec center into Caro. We have some great sports programs for kids. Caro Durham Little League is tremendous. Pop Warner is tremendous. There's not a lot out there for kids who aren't into sports. You know, if you go on social media, as soon as school's over, you see these posts, kids are wandering the street, or their vandalism. We saw the hero signs destroyed. Yeah. So I'm working on trying to get something into the community free, that, you know, it's not going to be athletic based, but will offer the kids something to go to. And a lot of that will depend on the space that we get, the community support. So we'll see where that goes. But that is something I am actively working on.
Any other issues that you see coming up on the horizon for the town board? Or
I think if we can address the drug issue, the other things will fall into place. Obviously, business. We've had a lot of vacant commercial lots. We have vacant storefronts. And no reason for that. I mean, we need to make this town more business friendly. Like, people have different ideas of how that can be done. So we'll see. I mean, that's something that the board will need to discuss. We'll need to consider some out of the box ideas. So,
and I guess I want to ask. I would ask this to any candidate now, because there was a current board member who had a problem with recusing himself, or I don't know. I think he maybe did eventually, but would you recuse yourself if you were involved in a lawsuit with someone in an issue that was before the board?
I would, and it's unfortunate that story has become what the board is known for. I know both individuals involved. I would recuse myself. I think both parties are in the wrong there, personally.
What other are there other things that you want to tell people or interested in? What have you been? I guess you've been talking to voters. What are they telling you?
So I've actually run a very different style campaign than probably anyone ever. This will sound terrible. I find the campaign process a little creepy. When you win a nomination, you're giving a voter list. That list has everyone's name, address, phone number, their political affiliation, whether they're an active voter or not. Then based on that information, the candidate targets you, where you are geographically, whether you voted the last election, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, bangs on your door or cold calls you to talk about, you know, zoning or the planning board. It just seems really intrusive to me. I have not gone door to door at all. I have not made any calls. I have a website that I utilize.
What's that address?
It's actually a Facebook page. It's very original. Gabrielson for Caro Town Council. I made that a forum. You know, people message me. People post on it. Reached out to a lot of the younger first-time voters. They're actually ignored, because when you get this voter list, they've never voted before. No one's even looked at them. There's kids that this will be their first election. You know, they follow politics more so than I did at the same age, but I want to make them aware of local issues and you know, who's running and what needs to change, or at least what I think needs to change.
And do you think there's going to be these off-year elections don't often have heavy turnout, and local elections can be decided by 5-6 votes. Do you think there's going to be a turnout this year, or?
I'm hopeful. I anticipate more absentee ballots than usual.
Why is that? Yeah.
Well, my son, who is on my campaign staff, has been reaching out to kids that are left for college, and they can't come back on November 7th, but they are active. They are aware of what's going on, and, you know, they have the information. So I anticipate a lot of absentee ballots, kids who are from Caro that this is their permanent home, but they can't make it back for election day.
Might not be decided election night then, as the absentee ballots are counted a few days later.
Well, we'll see. I'm hoping for a nice turnout. Although I haven't been going door to door, you know, I make myself very available. I'm at the town park all the time. I'm at Hannaford. I'm at Cumbrees. I'm at Dalton's. I'm at Duncan. You know, I'm a local guy, and, you know, there aren't a lot of 6'2", 250-pound ball guys walking around, usually with their hedgehogs. So I'm easy to find, and I'm always happy to talk, you know, national and local politics.
Has this been something you've always thought that you might run for a local town board, or is it a newer idea?
So, again, you know, it's something that I've been politically active, so to speak, for years, but just haven't had the time to run for an office. My son's in college now. I don't have high school games or practices to go to anymore. And, you know, staffing at my place of employment has made it easier for me. I'm not up in Oneonta until 7 o'clock at night and then rushing back to get to Caro at, you know, by 9 PM. You know, I am more local than I have ever been.
And you're running on the Democrat line. Is that what you said?
I am.
And just that line, no other, working families, independent, all those other, acronyms and
so the only other party that had expressed some interest in having me run was the Independent Party, but they and reasons I'd rather not discuss, they did not put up a candidate this year.
All right, and the election is November 7th.
Yes.
Any final reasons to urge voters to vote to pull David Gabrielson, or yeah, I guess you don't pull things anymore, you push
I just ask that people, you know, look at candidates' qualifications, look at their backgrounds, look at their ideas. Again, we're all saying the same thing, but only, you know, probably one or two of us are actually going to be able to make that difference. Don't vote for party. Don't vote because you went to school with them. Vote because they're the best for the job.
All right, David Gabrielson. And again, give out the website. It's a Facebook page.
It's Gabrielson for Caro Town Council.
All right. And November 7th, everybody get out and vote, not just in Caro, but everywhere is local elections. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you again for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right.